Welcome to the Generations Church podcast. This is Brian Nugent, and I'm the pastor at Generations Church. Thanks for listening today. We hope this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. For more information about Generations Church and its ministries, check out our webpage at gctlh.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter.
He put this chess set up here as he began this series on Esther, and he talked about how God's behind the scenes and how he's always doing things that you don't really see. How many believe that? How many, and you could raise your hand today and say, in my life, I know there's been times when God has been behind the scenes moving things and setting up things so that he could bless me, really. And he does those kind of things. But if you don't mind, I'm gonna move this down to the bench, because I've been known to swing my arms and stuff like that. And if I do, I can see the chess set. And it wouldn't be God's moves. It would be mine. And I'd have them all down front. And Samuel would have to pick them up. So I'm just going to move them over there. And on a chess set, I probably wouldn't know what to do. How many of you ever play chess? Oh, there's a bunch of you. I wouldn't know really even how to set them all up. I know there's kings, queens, knights, all those kind of things, but I wouldn't even know how to set them up unless they were red and black and about this size, you know. And then I'd know how to do that, but I'm sure it's a great game. If you're a guest with us, or maybe you haven't been in several weeks, just to get us up to speed of where we're at in the book of Esther, we're going to be in chapter 5 today, but this is kind of an overview, getting us up to chapter 5. The Jewish people were living in exile in Babylon and then in Persia for over 100 years. And King Xerxes of Persia, he was considered really the most powerful man in the world. And King Xerxes throws this large banquet, and you've heard Pastor mention this, a large banquet under the influence of alcohol. They served all kind of alcohol at that banquet. And so he does something that he probably wouldn't have done had he not been under the influence, but maybe he would have anyway. He influenced alcohol, and then his wife, Queen Vashti, he asked her, I want you to appear at this banquet. But Queen Vashti, possibly concerned about her personal safety and dignity, she refuses to appear, and I really don't blame her. But King Xerxes reacts angrily. How many know sometimes we react in ways we probably shouldn't? And then we make decisions and do things maybe we shouldn't have done. But he reacts angrily, and he has Vashti removed as queen and has a public notification sent out to all 127 provinces that she is no longer the queen. She's gone. She's out of the picture. And then Xerxes starts a search for a new queen. So through this unusual and sinister selection, through this process, Esther is chosen as the new queen of Persia. As Haman is promoted to a high place in the government, Mordecai refuses to bow down and recognize him. Haman's hatred for Mordecai, rooted in generations of conflict and personal pride, leads him to seek revenge on Mordecai and all the Jewish people. So with the approval of King Xerxes, Haman announces an execution date for all Jewish people and agrees to privately fund all the executions. When faced with the news of the coming executions, Esther and her friends and family, the Bible says, fasted and prayed for favor with the king. Esther took a risk. You know, sometimes in life we have to take a risk. And she decided to approach King Xerxes without invitation and ask him to call off the execution. Uncertain of Xerxes' answer, Esther risked her safety and security in the palace and made the statement, and Pastor shared this, if I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. How many have made your minds up? If I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. In other words, I'm going to serve Jesus till I breathe my last. And if I perish, then I perish. But I don't believe I'm going to perish. I believe I got a home in the sky that's already being built for me. So I don't think I'm going to perish. But I've made my mind up. If I perish, I perish. It wouldn't matter if he ever did anything else for me. For what he's already done, I choose to perish if I perish. But Mary, I know I'm going to live. Before church, I was talking to these girls, your girls, Mary. I was talking to them, and I said, how's your summer going? They said, it's going great, but it's going too fast. I said, oh, you just don't know. Come on, folk, if you're over 50, they just don't know, do they? Because time just keeps right on ticking, doesn't it? It keeps moving, and it goes so fast. Jesus is coming. How many believe he's coming? How many are ready? If he came today, you're ready. We'd be out of here, wouldn't we? That'd be a great day. Esther chapter 4, verse 16. And Pastor shared this last week, but I want to go there first. It says, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, for night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. Now we're going into Esther 5. Pastor asked me several weeks ago, he said, now, it's a small chapter. There's only 14 verses in Esther chapter 5. You think you can get a message out of that? Let me tell you something. I said, Pastor, how long have you pastored? So we agreed on that there's a message in God's Word. And so many times we even miss messages out of simple little scriptures that we could preach also. I love this. We're going to go to verse 1. It says, now it happened on the third day. See, I'm going to stop right there. Now it happened on the third day. Third day holds a significance when you read your Bible. There are a lot of good things happened on the third day. Come on, are you with me this morning? So, I mean, some incredible things happened on the third day. Abraham, when he took Isaac up to sacrifice him, it was on the third day when he saw the place where he was to sacrifice him. Although we know the story, don't we? God had a replacement for Isaac, and God had a plan. Can I tell you this morning? God has a plan for your life. No matter what's going on right now. Jonah was in the belly of a big fish for 3 days. But on that third day, oh, I could go into the extreme with this. But he spit him out. Spit him out. And then Jonah did what God had called him to do. And we saw a great many people born again and come to know God as their Savior. But the greatest of them all was it was a Friday, but Sunday was coming. And on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead so that you and I could have life and have it eternal. That's why I know if I perish, I perish. But I know I'm not going to perish because I know him. Jesus, the name above all names, you've already said it this morning. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. No God like him. Oh, you're not as excited as I am. So in Esther chapter 5, I'm going to finish reading this. I'm not going to stay in every verse like I did, stopping at about the fourth word. So you can relax. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in front in the court of King's palace, across from his house, facing the entrance of the house. Facing the entrance of the house. Now, I'm going to give you 5 points. And the first one is Esther's courage. Come on, courage. Some of you are old enough in here to remember the lion and the old Wizard of Oz. All he needed was a little courage. Come on, you remember that. How many know God can give you courage? Her decision to approach the king, even without being summoned, was a bold act of her faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Sometimes you just got to exercise your faith. F-A-I-T-H. Her willingness to risk her life to save her people. Sometimes it's not just about me. In fact, all the time, it's not just about me, but it's about others. She was willing to give it all up because of the courage that God gave her. I love what Joshua 1:9 says. It says, "Have I not commanded you?" One of the first scriptures that I ever learned after I got saved at 17. "To be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Wherever you go, God says, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Psalms 27, verse 14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." How many of you sometimes just want to take things in your own hand and just try to do it all by yourself? When the Lord's saying, "Wait, wait, because I want to make a few moves. Come on. I want to make a few moves to get you someplace else." But we try to make those moves ourselves. God will open doors and God will shut doors. Psalms 31, verse 24 says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." How many of you love the Lord this morning? Come on, how many of you love the Lord this morning? How many of you really love the Lord this morning? Can I tell you, I love Jesus. Here's the thing, and you can write this down. Real courage embraces twin realities. In other words, it'll embrace your current difficulty, but it also will embrace the ultimate triumph. Yes, sometimes life stinks. Am I the only one that would say that? Look at your neighbor and say, "Sometimes life stinks." But here's the thing. It won't forever. It won't forever. It won't forever. It won't forever. One person said, "Everything will work out in the end. And if it's not working out, then it's not the end." Now, I don't know if everything always works out great. Probably to ourselves, it probably doesn't sometimes. But here, I like this analogy. We don't need to have a Pollyanna attitude. Like when things aren't going great, we just act like everything is great. Because sometimes it's not, like I just said. Sometimes life stinks. You ever been around a person that just is always happy, always, never anything ever gets them down or anything? You ever been around a person like that? And there's nothing wrong with being a person like that. But it's kind of a Pollyanna attitude. But then we don't need to also have a Chicken Little attitude. The sky is falling, the sky is falling. And there's people going around now. If you watch the news, that's what you'll think. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. God put the sky there. It's not falling yet. It's not falling yet because we're sitting here this morning. Now, I know there's about 40 people gone this morning. They're on a mission trip. And I forgot to do something, and I'll do it in a few minutes. Just boggled my... You ever done that? And that's not, I could have had a V8. That's just rattling your brain. But I've got a video I'm going to show in a few minutes of our missions team. And then we're going to pray for them. But I'll just hold that, okay? Pastor said do it before you preach. But don't tell him I did it after I preached. If he's watching, I'm sorry. He can't change it now. He's way off. Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Isn't that right, Emily? If God be for us, who can be against us? Esther 5, verse 2 and 3. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and she touched the top of the scepter. And the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half of the kingdom." Now at that moment, she could have got in herself and said, "Okay, I'll take half the kingdom." Come on, how many of us would have done that? Yeah, see, we got three honest people in this building. Thank you, Keith. I wouldn't tell them who it was, but thank you, baby. We got several people that are honest. And Esther could have done the same thing. Half the kingdom. Here's your second point. Esther found favor. How many believe in divine favor? I don't think it was just favor with King Xerxes. I think she had already found favor in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, that scepter represents power. It represented authority that king had to rule. But it also represented favor when he stretched it out to her. But I love what she did, because the king's scepter was stretched out to her, and then she drew near, the Bible says, and she touched it. How many know if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us? If we draw near to Jesus, he will draw near to us. When I read this, I started thinking about the woman with the issue of blood that said, if I can just touch him, if I can just get close enough to him to touch him, then I believe I'll be healed. And she did. She made her way through that crowd till she was able to get near him, and she reached out her hand and she touched him. And she was never the same. Psalms 5, verse 12 says, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield." Come on, there's something good about divine favor. You know, we sang a song a while ago, said, "There ain't nothing better." There's nothing better. And I told you, the last time I think I made the announcements, I said, I'm working on a message called, "There Ain't Nothing Better." And I'm going to preach that one day. The opportunity is going to come. I don't know when, but it's going to come. So I'm telling you, get ready. Proverbs 3 and 4 says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." You know, Jesus himself grew in stature and in favor with man. He grew in stature, wisdom, and favor with man. The closer you get to Jesus, the more wisdom you're going to have. Come on. And how do we do that? You do it through his word. Where's the wisdom coming from? It's coming from his word. Draw near to him, because he'll draw near to you. Esther 5, verse 4 through 8. See, I told you I wasn't going to stop on all of them. We're about to be halfway through this thing. See, Reggie Dabb said we're going to beat the Baptist to the buffet. Y'all remember he said that? Well, it could happen today, but it may not. Esther 5, 4 through 8. So Esther answered, "If it please the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him." I can't imagine inviting your enemy to your banquet. Bible says to bless them, though, doesn't it? Bless those who curse you. Bless them. Right opposite of what we think we want to do. But I think she's up to something. "Let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for you." Then the king said, "Bring Haman quickly, that he may do as Esther has said." So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. Verse 6. At the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, "What is your petition? It shall be granted you. What is your request? up to half the kingdom, it shall be done. She could have took it right there. She could have took it right there. But look at what she says. My petition and request is this. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to the banquet which I will prepare for them. And tomorrow I will do as the king has said. Why two banquets? I have no idea. The Bible doesn't tell us why there was two banquets. But I believe we could go back to chapter 4, verse 16, where she prayed and she fasted for 3 days. And then on that third day, she began to execute a plan that I believe God was giving her. That God was giving her a plan. Because how many know He has a plan? Here's the third point. Esther's strategic wisdom. I believe Esther used wisdom when she decided, I'm not going to say right now what my request is, but I'm going to wait. I don't believe the Lord had given her the direct go-ahead yet. I think she was still talking to the Lord, and maybe it took one more day for her to make a decision. Am I going to go? What am I going to say? How am I going to do this? How am I going to orchestrate this? See, I believe I'd have messed it all up. I believe I could have. How many have ever messed something up? Oh, now we got a bunch of hands going up. Strategic wisdom. She doesn't immediately reveal her requests. She invites the king and Haman to another banquet, showing a strategic thinking in her approach. Sometimes we get in a hurry. Sometimes we get before God. And I think she was just waiting on the Lord to tell her exactly what to do. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That's a good scripture. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. Proverbs 14:15 says, the simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. Careful planning. Careful planning. Come on, you remember Joseph in Genesis went from the prison to the palace. Nehemiah had a strategic thinking and a divine insight with practical action. Here's the bottom line. Seeking God is the most important thing that you and I can do in any kind of situation. To seek God. We've already said He wants to be the highest. He wants to be the high place in your life. Sometimes we make decisions and we do things without going to Him and to find out really what decision I need to make. Somebody should have said amen. Seeking God. I've got a niece and a nephew, and I was sharing this a little bit with Linda, and they just got married 6-7 months ago or something like that. And Ash and they, both of them had finished college, and they both had found jobs. And she had some scholarships and different things, but she still had about $25,000 worth of student debt. And I've never seen a young couple really do this, but they sat down and Joseph got a plan, and he said, we're gonna pay this off. We're gonna get this paid off. We're not gonna wait for anybody else to pay for it for us, but we're gonna get this paid off. And in 6 months, he had a plan. They had paid off $25,000. And the other day, they had them a little celebration party, and they were both on the little video and were saying, we're debt free. That doesn't happen too often. Doesn't happen too often. They didn't go buy a new house when they got married. They didn't buy a new house. They went and got a one-bedroom apartment, little bitty small apartment, but it's just them. It's just them. It was a strategic plan, and he worked it through. It made me stop and start thinking about some things. Maybe there's some plans that I can put in place if I'll just use some wisdom and begin to do those things. Wow. Now, Pastor shared that this would make a great time soap opera. You know what I'm talking about. Because you got all these characters in here. And now we're going to go to Haman. Haman's kind of the evil character. And we're going to find out some things about him in Esther 5, verses 9 through 12. So Haman went out that day, joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, and that he did not stand and he did not tremble before him, he was filled with indignation. In other words, he was very angry. He got so mad because Mordecai didn't bow down to him. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself. Now, it's hard for me to believe Haman restrained himself, but the Bible says he restrained himself right there, and he went home, and he sent and he called for all of his friends and his wife, Zeresh. Then Haman told them of his great riches, the multitude of his children, and everything in which the king had promoted him to, and how he had advanced him above the officials and above the servants of the king. Moreover, Haman said, besides all of that, Queen Esther has invited me to the banquet with the king. Kind of arrogant, wasn't it? Come on. Come on, remember your high school days? Oh, I got an invitation. Did you get one? You didn't get one? Oh, I didn't know you didn't get one. Come on. Nothing's changed. I got triplet granddaughters. Nothing's changed. They're 6 years old and there's still drama. If you don't believe it, ask Pastor Bo. Sometimes he just needs a break. So when he needs a break, grandparents get to keep them. Sometimes he'll just say, I just need to take Megan on a date. Okay, we'll take them. We'll take them anytime. Anytime. If you don't believe it, ask Gigi. Because they're going to ask her first. Because they know granddaddy might hesitate. So nothing changes. So Haman's bragging. He's telling about all these things. The things that King has lifted him up to and the position he now has and all of that. And besides all that, Esther has invited him with the king to the banquet that she's prepared. Then he says, and tomorrow I'm again invited by her. So now he's going to the second banquet. He's invited to both of those banquets. But there's a plan. Yet all this avails me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. He was still full of that anger. Here's the fourth thing. Pride goes before the fall. Come on, how many of you know that? Pride goes before the fall. Haman's pride and his anger are evident in his reaction to Mordecai and his subsequent plot to have him hanged, foreshadowing his future downfall. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, in life, there's times when we can be like Esther and choose to fast and pray. And there's times when we have made choices like Haman and just get mad. Just get angry. And that doesn't help, does it? Proverbs 16:19 says, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. You're real quiet. I'm going to go another 45 minutes. Esther 5, verse 14. Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, Let a gallows be made 50 cubits high. You know how tall that is? That's 75 feet. One cubit is about 18 inches. So that equals 50 cubits high equals about 75 feet tall. Why would you have to build something 75 feet tall to hang somebody? I think he just wanted to make it a big public thing. So let a gallows be made 50 cubits high, and in the morning suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it. Then go merrily, merrily with the king to the banquet. And the Bible says, and this thing pleased Haman, so he had the gallows built. He doesn't realize that's his death sentence. Because there's a plan. Esther had sought God, and there was a plan. The fifth thing that I want to share is bad advice equals bad idea. How many of you ever took advice from someone and it turned out to not be the best advice? I can remember way back when I was a young Christian, and somebody kind of took an advantage of me on a situation over something, and this person I thought I knew, I'd been to school with them, I thought I knew them, I'm not going to give any names, and they had something that I could purchase, and they said they had an extra one, and this is kind of crazy, but it was a jacuzzi tub. Some of you may have jacuzzi tubs today, and that's fine. If I get a motel room somewhere, sometimes I want a jacuzzi tub in it. I'm sorry, honey. But he told me he had a jacuzzi tub that I could get for $350. And I went and got my checkbook, wrote him a check for $350, and gave it to him. And this has probably been 40 years ago. I've yet to see that jacuzzi tub. And I had some good brothers and people come up to me and say, if I were you, I'd go take it out of his hide. Now, is that good advice? Oh, I wanted to, but I didn't. I didn't. And when I think back of all that time, you know, and I forgave him. I just forgave him. And, you know, wrote it off. But the bad thing about it was about 2 weeks after that, I found out he was down in South Florida on a vacation. And he was probably bathing in a jacuzzi tub. So that makes it even worse, doesn't it? I shouldn't even dig that up. I'm allowed to be angry this afternoon. No, I'll go get in Pastor's jacuzzi, his hot tub. He's not home. So there's a contrast here, and I'm getting ready to close. And I'm going to ask our worship team to come back up, if you would. See, it's only 11:15. I figured that you ain't supposed to be the first one to say, "You're doing good." There's a contrast between Esther and Haman. And you know, all around us there are Esthers and there are Hamans. Esther had humility. Humility. She had courage. She had wisdom. But she also had faith. Folks, let me tell you something. Don't ever give up on your faith. Don't ever turn. The best decision I ever made was when I turned my heart and my life over to Jesus when I was 17 years old. The other day at the gym, there was a sign that said, "Leave a note, and what would be your best advice to newbies in the gym. And there was a cup there and a notepad. And there was nothing in the cup. I said, I'm going to put a note in there. I said, number one, trust God with all your heart. Always trust Him. And then I said, be consistent when you come to the gym. And then do what works for you. And if I had to give any kind of advice, I would say the same thing to you today. Trust God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Surrender your life to Him, because time keeps ticking. And don't jump in and out, in and out, in and out, and in and out. And so many times people jump in and out of the kingdom. They jump in for a while and they serve the Lord, and then you don't see them. And they jump back out and they go try the world again. Can I tell you something? The world doesn't have anything to offer you, but the kingdom has everything to offer you. And it'll be the best decision that you ever make. Haman was full of pride. He was full of arrogance. And he was full of vengefulness. And look where it got him. Look where it got him. And can't nobody tell me Jesus ain't real. You can't tell me that, because I can take you back to the place. I can take you back to the pew, although it's probably not there now, because that little church turned into later a place called Lifesavers Ministries. And a young man that worked in my children's church many, many years ago felt the call of God on his life to start that ministries and begin to take buses into Hardaway and some of the worst areas in Opelika and Auburn in those cities. And he got 7 buses, and he would go bus out these kids and bring them back to that church and minister to those kids. And that ministry is still going on today. Incredible ministry. And he did that after I had messed up, because I didn't get the plan right. Because I went and bussed all those kids with one bus and would bring them back and mix them right in with all the my kids that I had that were church kids that had been brought up in church. And when I mixed those street kids and those that were coming from those areas with these kids, I couldn't preach on Sunday morning, because I was separating fights and trying to get somebody else off somebody over here, and somebody was stealing something over here, and all these kind of things were going on. And James said, I got an idea. God's given me a plan. Instead of bringing them here and trying to present them with the gospel, let's take the gospel to them. And that plan worked. And that was James' calling. He wasn't afraid. When he went in there, they didn't even have a place. All he had was a corner where he could set up on Sunday morning. And he would take a PVC puppet stage and take it with him. And he'd get over there early in the morning about daybreak, and he would pick up all the beer bottles, all the whiskey bottles, all the drug paraphernalia, pick it all up, and he'd clean up that corner before the kids would get there. Then he would set up his stage and his singing machine. And then he would minister for several hours to children there and watch children's lives begin to change. Next Saturday, he'd go back in there, the same thing. It would be all covered again with paraphernalia, beer bottles, whiskey bottles, and all those things. But he was consistent, and he would go back and he would clean it all up, and he kept doing all that. And then he began to think, well, should I just stop? And the police department came to him and said, no, you don't need to stop, because we're seeing a change. We're seeing a change. In fact, we've got a little building over here on such and such a street. It's been abandoned. At one time, it was a church. And it's not very big, probably about the size of this stage. He said, but we're going to make that building available to you if you want to start meeting there in that building. So he went into that building and began to do things in there. And then it went from there until he finally got the church over on Fitzpatrick Avenue, the same church that I gave my heart to Jesus in. and about 3 acres of land that went with it, with another building down behind it. And it just has grown and grown and grown all these years. But he's been consistent. Praise God. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. Not to harm you, but to give you a future. How many know tomorrow's future? Tomorrow's future. But to give you a future and to give you a hope. A hope. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning because this was a holiday weekend and you really didn't have to be here this morning. But you're here. You're here because of your faith and your trust in the one true God. Wow. Wow. Bow your heads for just a moment. Father, I love you this morning and I thank you for every person in this room. God, you're no respecter person. You so loved the world, you gave your only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And Lord, so many things happen in life, and we're not promised tomorrow, but we still have today. And so, Father, if there's someone here today that's struggling, that just says, I'm going through a horrible situation, or things just aren't going the way I think they should go, and Lord, they're having second thoughts, then God, I thank you that you're Jehovah Shalom, that peace, that perfect peace in the midst of every storm that we walk through. You're there. And Lord, you're right here today. And you'll show yourself mighty to that person. And God, you'll lift their head and say, hang in there, stay with me, walk with me, and I'll lead you where you need to go. If that's you today and you say, I need prayer, I just want to pray for you, right where you're at, will you just slip your hand up? Anybody? Yes. Yes. Yes, yes. Anybody else? Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Father, I thank you for these that lifted their hands. You know their situation. You know even before we ever ask. You know what they're walking through. But I thank you that you'll walk through it with them. Samuel already said it. You're the God of the mountain. But you're also the God of the valley. And flowers bloom in the valley. Flowers bloom in the valley. So God, I'm asking you today to help them, to strengthen them, to give them peace, Lord, to give them direction, God. You said if in all our ways we acknowledge you, then you direct our path. So I lift them up to you today. And believe, God, for you to show yourself mighty to them. Work a miracle if it needs to be a miracle. And we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Your name. You guys begin to sing.
Thank you for listening to the Generations Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message today and pray God's greatest blessings on you. For more information about Generations Church and its ministries, check out our webpage at gctlh.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter.